What's up, guys? This is Jacques, and welcome to the very first episode of Poplitically Incorrect. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a former music blogger. I now work as an entertainment journalist. A lot of people would probably describe me as a problematic Twitter troll, but I try to take that as a compliment. I love reality TV, iced lattes, tweeting my terrible takes about absolutely everything, and standing the housewives that everybody hates, like Teddy. Like most white gays, I've wanted to start a podcast for years, but it wasn't until the most recent season of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills that I finally decided to take the plunge. Unlike the masses, I definitely was not Team Denise. I think Dorit had her most boring and useless season ever, and Garcelle was completely overhyped. At this point, I thought, you know what, maybe there is room for a contrarian podcast instead of just another Bravo stan gushing about Dorinda being a flawless queen every week. Of course, I watch plenty of stuff outside of Bravo, a lot of other reality shows that I will be covering too. Despite the name of my show, this isn't a political podcast, but I am fascinated by the intersection between politics and pop culture, so I will be getting into a lot of that, like, for example, all of the crazy cancel culture stuff going on right now. I also have amazing and fun interviews coming with some interesting and controversial people, and yes, they do include some Real Housewives, so yep, let's get into it. Thanks for listening. So, The Real Housewives of OC premiered this week with its 15th season. I am going to get into this quite a bit, but I'm going to save a lot of it for next episode because it's impossible to talk about this show without getting into the politics surrounding it and all the controversy. If you've been on social media, you would have seen the Twitter activists who are, attempting to boycott the OC right now. It's kind of part of a larger trend of a certain segment of Bravo viewers demanding that everybody on the network shares all of their same political views and values, and if they don't, you know, they can't possibly watch it anymore. So we're going to get into that more in depth because that's just like a whole thing. And shout out to the Twitter activists. You know, you guys are really changing the world. Golf claps for you. Look, the premiere, it was pretty good. People are trying to act like it was the worst thing that's, you know, ever aired in the history of TV. It really wasn't. The women have a lot of interesting stuff going on in their lives, you know, considering that we already know that, production gets halted because of the COVID pandemic, obviously breaking. I think they've done a good job judging by the trailer and the premiere. They do definitely need Tamra back though. I mean, you know, with Vicky, it was her time to go, but Tamra, it feels like the show's like lost their narrator or their producer or something. It's very strange not having her there. You really do see that she was kind of the glue that held that show together. But yeah, I'm excited for the season. The OC is my favorite city of all the Housewives shows. I know that it's probably the least popular among fans right now, for a lot of different reasons. You know, it has definitely gone downhill since they got rid of Heather Dubrow, which is one of the worst casting decisions in Bravo history. But I love the OC. You know, I feel like I'm getting a look into a different world every time I watch it. It's, you know, the land of the Karens. People complain about, you know, the whole cast being, you know, Republicans and problematic. And I'm like, yeah, that's what makes it good. Like, this is peak Karen watching. It's fascinating. Out of all of the Housewives cities, it's the one I think that still has, it still really has its own identity. I think the other shows, as good as they are, they're more just your standard, like, you know, cast of women, and they fight and have typical drama. The OC, you know, I think the politics kind of flavors the show in an interesting way. And even though that's the thing that people complain about, for me, that's the thing that makes it so interesting to watch. So yeah, anyway, I'm looking forward to it. I'm even more excited for next season when hopefully Tamra will be back. And yeah, we will get into all the political stuff around it next episode. So The Bachelorette also returned. Now, this is the American version of the show, not the Australian version, which is also airing right now. Despite being Australian, I do not watch Aussie Bachelor franchise. I just think it's so poorly produced and corny, but I am obsessed with the American Bachelor. I have been hyping up this Bachelorette premiere on Twitter for like the past week, no, past month actually, because I'm just so sick of nobody watching Bachelor with me every year. I'm like, seem to be the only person I know that watches it. You know, reality TV viewers in general are like pretty fragmented. They're sort of all in their own camps. Like, You've got the Bravo fans, obviously, that just kind of watch Housewives. You have the RuPaul's Drag Race fans. You have the competition show fans. So that's like Big Brother, Survivor, The Amazing Race. And you have the TLC fans. That's 90 Day Fiancé and Love After Lockup. So, you know, a lot of these people don't, you know, mix and watch other shows. I kind of watch all of them. You know, I dip in and out of everything. So I've been trying to get everyone on the Bachelor bandwagon. If you've been following the news reports, you'll know that a few like things that have never happened before in the franchise are going on right now. So first of all, they have their oldest bachelorette ever. That is Claire Crawley. She's 39, which is like 10,000 in bachelor years. Now, she falls in love with one of the guys a few weeks into filming the show. She leaves, like she quits or something like that. That's never happened before. And she gets replaced by a new bachelorette. That is Tasia Adams. She is one of my favorite Bachelor people. She was on Colton's season, and then she was on Bachelor in Paradise. She will also be the second Black Bachelorette ever. So, I mean, you would think this would be an amazing season, but I actually wasn't blown away by the premiere. The thing that's so great about the Bachelor franchise is that it's really, really funny, and they just have really weird drama that it's like stuff that you couldn't script, and it's personalities that you couldn't script. And the premiere was like really kind of just straightforward to me. Like the weird, wacky characters that I'm used to weren't there, and they actually did have more of a focus on love. Like they still had some funny stuff. They showed the guys getting COVID tests, which doesn't sound funny, but it actually was. But I don't know. Maybe they're trying to make the show a little bit more serious with Claire because she is older. I'm not sure. The best thing about it was actually the love story with Claire meeting this guy for the first time, the one that she ends up running off with. It was really genuine. You know, when she met him, she starts getting chills. She's shaking. She's like, this is my husband. I know it. It's like a love at first sight moment. And, you know, we get to witness it on camera. It's kind of amazing. And, you know, as much as I love the drama on this show, I really do come back for the romance. I don't care how overproduced the Bachelor franchise is. Every single year I get completely invested in the relationships. You know, I believe everything I see on screen. I'm like squealing and giddy, like watching it on my couch. So I'm excited to watch for Claire's love story again. I don't know how good this season is going to be, but considering that they did film it during the pandemic, basically they had to shut down production and then move it to some boiling hot resort in the middle of the desert. That's another thing, by the way. You could see throughout the episode, everyone was like sweating bullets and hot and uncomfortable, and it kind of sucked some of the romance out of the show. Like, I mean, even though we know it's not that romantic and that, you know, these people are filming like freaking 20-hour days, and it's not all that it's edited to be when you really see it blatantly on screen with them like crammed in this room, you know, in the middle of summer drinking warm champagne. It's kind of gross. But anyway, look, I'm tuning in. I hope that if you've never watched Bachelor or Bachelorette before, that you jump in and give it a go. Again, it's not the best season they've ever done, but there's not that much else on. So please get into it, because once you get into Bachelor Nation, you will not regret it. This is literally one of the best reality franchises out there. It's so good. Anyway, now let's get into my very special interview with my favorite housewife of all time. All right, guys, so I have an amazing first guest to launch my show. She's my favorite housewife of all time. She's the hottest housewife. She's the toughest too. Tamra Judge, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me and your very first guest. That's exciting to me.
I know. Well, I had to have my fave on to open.
even though I'm no longer on.
Well, we'll see. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that you'll be back. You look great. You know, I'm always watching your Instagram stories, and you're always doing your like skincare things and stuff. Do you kind of feel like having a break from the show has just like de-stressed you?
Oh, it's absolutely distressed me. I didn't really realize how stressful the show was, or being on the show, because I was on it for so long. But Eddie used to say things to me like, you need to decompress, you need to not think about it. And I'm like, I'm fine. What are you talking about? And after, you know, it took me a little while to get over the fact that I wasn't on the show, because I was so blindsided by it and I didn't understand it. It didn't make any sense to me. So it just, I guess for me, there was like no real closure. So I had it in my head for probably a good 6 months. Like, it was really kind of sad for me. And then I realized, like, oh my God, I'm not that stressed out anymore. Like, I do not have to worry about what people are saying about me or my kids or my husband. I don't have to defend my business. Like, there's so much that goes into it.
It's got to be like a constant cycle, because even though I think you film for like 3-5 months or something, but then when you're not filming, you're doing press or you're monitoring social media or the season's airing, and then it's kind of like the season finishes airing and you just go back to shooting. So yeah, it must have been like a decade or more than a decade of just like that constant sort of hamster wheel.
Well, yeah, that's a good example as a hamster wheel. Like, I was busy all the time. I knew what I was going to be doing. I knew my schedule. I knew, you know, I'd be filming this time and then we go into, you know, but what greater time to leave the show during a pandemic?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think the timing worked out really well. So I want to get into all the OC stuff. But just before we get into that, I kind of want to know a bit about, you know, your life, like before going on the show. So you didn't grow up in Orange County, did you?
No, I grew up in Glendora, California. A lot of people think I grew up in Glendale, which is in LA County. I did not. I grew up in Glendora, a small little town. And I was there until probably mid-20s, and I moved to Orange County.
Oh, how old were you when you met your first husband?
High school.
Oh, wow. And then so how old were you when you got pregnant with Ryan and got married and everything? That was like 18 or so?
Yeah, I had 3 months left of high school and I was pregnant. I was pregnant when I graduated high school. Like, I walked the ceremony. Nobody knew, but I was pregnant.
Oh, wow. Was that like, you know, because I'm actually from a small town, so it's kind of like normal there for people to get pregnant young. Was it like that at the town you were in, or was it kind of like a shock? Like, oh my God, you know, I'm still in high school and pregnant.
It was a shock. I remember we had one other girl get pregnant during high school year, her last year, and her parents sent her off. She had the baby, and then she came back to school and she gave the baby up for adoption. So for me, I wasn't going to get him up for adoption. So I just finished my school year out, graduated, and then just kept my mouth shut.
were you just kind of like living kind of like a housewife then with your husband? You weren't doing real estate at that point, were
No,
you?
I wasn't. I was, you know, I didn't get to go to college because of that. I did in high school. I was always been like a very busybody. So I was going to high school, working, and I was taking what they call ROP classes. So I took, they're like, like trade school kind of. So and you got credit for high school as well. So I was taking manicuring. So I was a manicurist. I did nails right after. And I remember my mom telling me, oh, you can't finish this because all the chemicals with the acrylic nails when you're pregnant, you can't do that. So I stopped doing it while I was pregnant. And then as soon as I had him, I went ahead and went back to school, took my state board test, passed it, and I started doing nails.
When you split with your first husband, so were you just sort of doing the single mom thing for a while?
Oh, yeah. I was, probably about 13 years. I would date, and I had a couple of really long-term boyfriends, but it was, you know, one of those things where I was young and I had a kid, and guys my age, they didn't want to deal with that. So it really, not until I was, I think I met Simon, I was close to 30.
Were you relying on your parents a lot?
No, I was thinking about that the other day. It's funny that I never asked them for a cent. I worked, as soon as I separated, I had to get a full-time job. So I worked at the trash company. I worked for waste management, and I would work like 6 days a week, and I had a little small apartment, you know, and there was times where like my electricity gets shut off, or, you know, it was just, I had to go to my mom's house to eat. So it was a struggle. I came to a point where I think Ryan was about 8, and I had no money. You know, I really didn't have the quality of time to spend with him. So he went to go live with his dad because his dad remarried, and that lasted a few months, and then it just didn't work out. Then he came back. Yeah.
Yeah. So was the dad kind of, he was mostly off doing his own thing. So after you divorced, you weren't that close?
No, we weren't really that close. He remarried. He came in and out of Ryan's life. He was, you know, back then it was different. Like it was every other weekend they, you know, men would see their kids. Like nowadays the courts went 50, you know, 50-50. But back then it was like he'd see him twice a month.
Yeah. And what about when was it that your own parents split? Because I remember I was actually watching some of the old Orange County episodes before I interviewed you, and there was so much that you have like put out on the show that we forgot, because obviously you were on the show for like 13 years or something.
12 years
or something. Yeah. 12 years. And because your dad had an affair with your mom's best friend.
Yes. Yes. Good memory. So I want to say that they were married 27 years. So I was, you know, well out of the house. But it was, you know, still, it was very much a shock to me because my parents never fought. I only saw them get into one fight ever, and I'll never forget it. But that was the only fight I ever knew that they,
did
you know,
anyone suspect anything, like, you know, because you probably knew the friend or whatever from growing up.
Yeah.
Was it just like a shock, like, wait, what?
Yeah, no, it was a shock to everyone. And at first, you know, I was always really close to my dad, more so than my mom growing up, and I was the only girl. And so when it first happened, you know, I was just kind of like, okay, dad, like, whatever makes you happy. If that's what makes you happy, if you're really unhappy, then I totally get it. You know, I was 27 years old. I'd been through a few breakups myself. So, and then it got to a point where I resented him because my mom was so bad. My mom had never had a job in her life. She was a stay-at-home mom since she was right out of high school. She had me when she was 17. So it was like to see my mom struggle so bad was just like devastating to me.
Yeah. So you sort of took her side and.
Yeah. Yeah. I took her side, and then I didn't talk to my dad for a while. I think back, you know, I forget so much of what happened because I don't ever watch the show. Never. Oh. So, and I can't even stand to like go back and watch reruns or anything like that. Like it just makes me cringe. Yeah. And you forget all the stuff that I have exposed. Now at my age, I would probably think twice about all the things that I exposed. Yeah. I really would.
When you met Simon, then I guess, so you moved to Orange County with Simon. Was that like a big adjustment? Cause like you said, you kind of like went from being, you know, the single mom, like, you know, doing it tough, like just you and your boy. And then suddenly you're in like Orange County and you're a housewife with kind of, you know, a successful guy.
Yeah. So when I met Simon, I had already moved to Orange County. I was living in Brea, California. And Ryan at that time was living with his dad, and I would have him on the weekends. So that didn't last long, only a few months. And then, you know, I had him back full time. And Simon and I were together for about 2 or 3 years, I think, before we actually got married. I think Ryan was about 13 years old when we actually got married.
Yeah. And when did you end up getting offered the show?
Yeah, I think it was in 2007. And we had three kids. Simon and I had three kids. Sophia was super little. She's 15 now, so she was maybe almost two. And my next door neighbor told me, like, hey, they're having a casting call for the Housewife show. And it was a brand new show. It was only open out for like 2 years. And yeah. I'm like, oh, geez. And I had just I got my real estate license while I was pregnant with Sophia. So I was kind of dabbling in real estate, but not really, you know, full time. And she's like, maybe you should try out for it. And I'm like, oh my God, no, I'm so boring. Like these women are so different, you know, like no way I'd be so boring. So I filled out the application online and I just kind of was obnoxious and I didn't send any pictures and anything like that. And they called me. And I didn't think for a second that Simon would allow me to be on the show because he was so conservative. But he's like, yeah, sure. Go ahead. Do it. Like, you know, have them come over and interview you.
So when you're going for the show, like in your mind at that point, are you thinking like, you know, I want to be famous? Are you thinking I have a business I want to promote? Like what's the mindset? Because obviously back then as well, reality TV was a lot newer. So
it was so different.
Yeah, they weren't even as business savvy. It's not like, you know, let's go on for Instagram because they didn't even have it.
There was no business savvy. There was no, nobody had businesses really. everybody really was either, you know, there was a few in real estate. Vicky had her insurance business, but It wasn't like it is now, like, oh God, I got the show. Okay, now I'm going to start pimping this. You know, it was a totally different animal back then. And I just did it because it had nothing to do with financial, just something to do. You know, I was a mom of four and Sophia was only about two. And I'm like, this could be fun, you know? And then after I got into it, I'm like, holy shit, what have I got myself into? Like, I am not this girl. Like, they're telling me like, yo, you have a photo shoot here and you're going to do this. You're going to be traveling. And I'm like, what? Like this, whose life is this?
Yeah.
It was just started really quick. Like things were just happening so quick.
And I think you kind of came in right as it was exploding, because the first two seasons were a bit quieter and it was sort of like building momentum. And then it was kind of like by the time you came on, it was like picking up.
Well, I think that I'm the one that exploded it.
Yeah, well, everyone, that's what I was about to get to, because it's kind of common knowledge that you just came in and like shook that up, because people were not like, you know, calling each other out and stuff before you were on the show. And I was wondering, like, when you came on, were you thinking like, okay, I'm going to like shake this shit up, like I'm going to turn it upside down, or was it just natural?
It was just totally natural. Totally natural. And I was, at the time, I was, I think, the youngest on the show. So I was younger than them. And they were kind of territorial, like, who is she? Why is she so vocal? She's new. She should sit down and be quiet, you know? And I didn't care. I did not care.
So you were just like, if you saw something that you thought was like fake or whatever, you were just like, I'm calling it out.
Yeah. 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 And it was very, very much how I was in my real life, too. Like, that's like, now I'm a little bit more, you know, set back a little bit and try to keep my mouth shut just a little bit.
When you got on the show, did you notice kind of really quickly sort of like, you know, hanger-oners coming out of the woodwork and people, you know, trying to get into your ear and stuff?
Yeah, there was a lot of people and friends. Like I always say, like my true friends kind of took a back seat and they would film once in a while with me, but they really didn't want anything to do with it. And then there was like the people that suddenly wanted to be my best friend and they wanted to be on camera all the time. And those are the ones that I had to weed through, you know, like the guy that was on my, in my wedding, you know, he was,
Ricky. The...
Yes. Yes. He was, you know, he was a friend that I knew around town and, you know, we had fun once in a while, but then he got obsessed with the show and just, I saw a really bad side. So I had to cut ties and that didn't go very well.
Yeah, well, it's really weird because obviously, you know, I work in media and when, you know, I see it from my end as a journalist, it's like once someone gets in the spotlight, the kinds of people that come out of the woodwork and then they start, you know, I get emails of like, this person did this and, you know, claiming to have receipts on them. And it's just,
as soon as you're out there,
they just want to like tear people down. And so much of it is like,
it's
not
just so
true.
Mean. Yeah. And a lot of it is like, all they want is like their little 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Jealousy.
Yeah. Just jealousy and stupidity. And it ends up backfiring in their face. Like all of us just from being on the show know so much about each other. Like I would never think to like sell somebody out or tell their secrets, or it's just a dirty thing to do.
Yeah, I know. It's funny because I talk to a lot of reality people or work with them on stories, and there's so much that like that's like common knowledge behind the scenes that like doesn't make it to the public.
Yeah,
you know,
there's a lot that doesn't make it, and sometimes it's frustrating. You know, it's like, oh my God, why couldn't they show her in that light? Like she's always doing this. And why is she always getting a pass?
Yeah.
So
when did you feel like you noticed the show change in, I guess, how it was produced? Because again, you come on season three, it's more just following the women individually and their lives. And then, you know, obviously as we see it go on, it becomes more of like Housewives Survivor and there's more group scenes and drama. Like at what point do you sort of notice like, okay, this is a really different show than what I thought I was signing up for?
I think when the show started getting franchised to other states is when things started changing, because every state wanted to outdo the other state. And then, you know, fighting became like just common knowledge and that's what they expected of you. So I would say probably by season five, it was really starting to change.
So was it competitive between the franchises? Like, oh my God, like New York's doing that. So then OC wants to outdo.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I always, I always felt like your wine toss with Gina was your way of being like, let's get OC on that, because they had like the table flips and stuff on the other one. And I felt like you were like, all right, honey, like OC yeah. can compete.
I mean, that is, there's a funny story behind that, because, you know, I would never think to do that ever, but it was kind of put in my ear because Gina was doing all this stuff and she was, you know, getting involved in my divorce and going to the press and bringing my kids into it and telling, you know, just telling stories that weren't true. Yeah. And she wouldn't stop. And I kept saying, will you please stop? Because every time you talk to the press, you know, you're smearing my kids' names and faces all over the place. Like, just stop. And she wouldn't. So, you know, I contacted my attorney. He's like, let me write her, you know, write up a letter and, you know, you can give it to her. So I told the producers, I said, listen, I'm giving her this letter and she needs to stop. And they're like, okay, well, if she doesn't, you know, you can just, you know, push her in the pool or throw wine in her face or something like that. The producer had told me that.
Yeah.
So when I went ahead and gave her the cease and desist, is that what it's called?
Cease and desist, you said.
Cease and desist.
He's yeah. Cease and desist.
Yeah. when I gave it to her, you know, she said, I should just throw your skinny ass in the pool. And that triggered what the producer said to me. And I just instantly threw my wine. And then I was scared shitless.
I guess that's how they get in your head, right? Because it's not like the producer specifically goes, oh, flip a table on this person. It's more kind of like they know how to suggest things and put things in people's minds.
They can jokingly put things in your mind. And, you know, I mean, all those producers, they definitely have a psychology background for sure, because they know how to manipulate and, you know, get what they want out of us.
Did you ever have a scene and then you kind of thought, why did I do that? And then you think back to like conversations with producers, and did you ever feel like things had been put in your head without you realizing it? And then the light bulb goes off later.
Yeah. That in
besides
particular,
that. Yeah.
Yeah. That in particular. Yeah. I mean, another thing that I noticed was happening is, I was kind of their go-to girl. Like, you know, we'd be in a scene together of, you know, all housewife cat event, and they would be like, hey, come here. And so I would run off like, oh, I'll be right back, you know, and they'd be like, hey, can you bring up this? Or, hey, can you do that? And I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, because I really didn't have much fear, where some of the other girls like, I'm not doing that. And so I would go out and do it. And then when the show would air, I'd be like, I was the asshole, you know, so I'd always do things. And it took me, stupid me, like years to realize, like, okay, don't do that anymore. Like, don't be their little puppet. You know, don't go over there and do exactly what they want, because in the end of the day, when they edit it, they make me look bad.
Yeah, but that's what I always liked about you watching the show, because I'm like, Tamara will bring it up. You know, the one thing that I really can't stand on the show is, like, I don't mind people stirring the pot. Like, I really enjoy Lisa Rinna on Beverly Hills and Kenya on Atlanta. What I really hate is the people that stir the pot, like, off the camera. And then once the camera's on, they're acting all innocent. But, you know, they're doing all the stuff behind the scenes. Like, that's what drives me crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah, that
drives me
nuts too.
And there's so much of that.
See, I appreciate a girl that will just say it right to your face than somebody that's, like, sneaky behind your back. And then there's a few on Orange County that are, they're very calculated. They're very smart. They're both attorneys. And they're very calculated.
Well, yeah, I keep hearing that about Emily. It's so... Because I really like her on the show, but then when I see interviews, people go, oh, she's really smart. She's this, she's that.
She's calculated. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it'll come out this season.
Oh, really? Well, there hasn't been that much. I don't know if you watched the trailer for it, but she doesn't seem to be in the drama that much.
Is she ever?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, can't even believe it. It's on her third season. It's mind-blowing to me and so many other people. Like, what is it? What is, like, I don't get it.
I don't know. I like, something about her I like. You know, I find that with the casting with the OC, I don't think the problem is so much who is on the show. I think that the issue is who they get rid of. Like, that's the main issue for me. So, obviously, I can't believe they got, that was just a crazy decision. And then everyone... I think that watches the show agrees that getting rid of Heather Dubrow was like the worst decision they could have ever made. Like, I still cannot believe they got rid of her. Like, I feel like Heather was so good for the show that even if she was, like, throwing champagne glasses at the producers behind the scenes and demanding raises and being a nightmare, it's, like, worth it to have her on the show because she was that good. So.
But you know what? She wasn't. She really wasn't like that at all. So it was kind of like a shock to everyone. Like, what are you doing? What? Why? Why?
Was it more...
She brought so much class to the show, and she had like the best trips and the party ideas and all those things. And, you know, Terry was a good TV.
Mm.
So it was, you know, I think that that's when the show started going downhill, really.
Well, you know, what was really great about Heather was that even if you didn't, I mean, I liked Heather, but even if you didn't like her, she was still entertaining to watch. Like, she still brought that different dynamic to the group that the show needed. And it was just crazy to me. Like, I think at the time the blogs were saying that she was being a bit of a diva because of the Kelly stuff. Like, she didn't want to film with Kelly. And
I don't think that's true. And if there's anybody there's divas on the show right now that are horrible, horrible to the producers, that I just can't even believe they still have jobs.
Yeah, well, you know, I remember, this is years ago, I heard on the Bitch Sesh podcast, I can't remember who they interviewed, but it was like it was some kind of like OC insider or producer or something. And they were like, Tamra's the best to work with and she does whatever the producers say and she's like so easy. And Shannon is the worst and is so mean to everybody.
So, I mean, 100%.
And is like a nightmare.
Nightmare. Like, it's unbelievable. Yeah, I've always, you know, yes, I mean, I always, any job I've ever had, like, I always take it really serious and I give it my all. So I would do anything and everything they wanted me to do. I would never say no. As far as canceling a filming, I think I did that 2 times in the 12 years I was on the show, and it's because I was really sick. But other than that, like, I would give them anything and everything and wanted, did everything for them. Like, I was probably the easiest one to ever work with.
I remember they did a behind the scenes of the OC a few years ago, and like Vicky seemed like she was hard work sometimes on the show, but she kind of owned it. Like, she sort of owned it. Like, you know, whereas I think Shannon seems to put on like a much different facade on the camera. And so like, what is it like? Is it sort of like refusing with Shannon's behavior in particular? Is it like it's kind of like refusing to do things or just like diva stuff, like
just diva controlling, tries to produce, has fits, yells at them, calls them in the middle of the night, screams, just those kind of things.
Yeah. I've never been a fan of Shannon on the show. Like, let me rephrase that. I was a fan of Shannon on the show because she was good TV. I was never a fan of her as a person. So even her first season when she came on and she was really popular, I was team Heather. I was like, if I was Heather, I would have fucking thrown her out of my house too. Like, she was acting crazy. Like, I just think she's so narcissistic and entitled, and just the victim complex never takes accountability. I mean, so much, you know, one scene that always sticks out to me is when she wanted money from David to start a restaurant or whatever, and she sort of threw a tantrum because he wouldn't give her the money. It's like, is he really going to give her 200 grand to throw down the toilet on a restaurant that's when she's never had a job in her life? And
I know. I remember sitting with her asking her, like, you understand, like, starting your own business is really hard. Like, you're going to have to go to work every day for the first couple of years. Like, there's no vacation. She's like, oh, no, I'm not. I'm not going to work. I'm like, well, then you're not going to be successful, because successful businesses, the owners have to put in their time and work their butt off. I mean, even our business, like, both of them, like, as soon as we go on vacation or step back, you know, things start going downhill. Like, you have to be there. Somebody's got to be the face of it.
Yeah, and then I know that she did that frozen food line or whatever, which, one, I don't know how, like, cream cheese stuffed, you know, whatever is healthy, for one. Two, you know, I remember on the show she was like, you know, I build a business from the ground up. And it's like, no, you licensed your name in a deal with HSN and did everything, and then you promoted it for segments. It's not the same as building a business, but it's like, she doesn't, in her mind, though, she thinks that she did, because she doesn't have a, she doesn't understand the concept of like work and building a business. So in her mind, she did build a business from the ground up, you know?
Like- right. But no, that's not exactly how it is. No. I mean, when we opened up Cut Fitness, it was almost a year of doing renovations and all the stuff that goes into the legal stuff, the hiring, the, you know, the website, all that stuff takes so much time and so much money. And we went from a $50,000 budget to, I think, $400,000 or something like that is what it costs us to open it up. And, you know, you really learn about business doing it that way, not just putting your name on somebody's company, you know, oh, this is my, you know,
I know
this is my dog brush. I created it. No, you didn't. And I think that's where a lot of housewives, I'm not saying you can't get some good licensing deals because you can, you just have to be smart. And I think a lot of the housewives, they just don't get it. They don't, they just see like, oh, I'm going to look like I own a business. So I'm going to put my name on this. Well, first of all, be careful of who you're going into business with. Make sure you check them out. A lot of these are like, nope. And then they bomb.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, it's different as like someone like you that comes from a working class background, as opposed to someone that grew up with money and then married money, you know, it's just a whole different mindset.
It is 100%.
So with the show, how much of these friendships are genuine and how much of these friendships are alliances? So, because like we just had the premiere last night. I know you didn't watch, but Kelly and Shannon made up. It didn't look genuine to me. And even like I remember years ago, if I want to ask you about this, you and Gretchen randomly became friends. Like, was that real?
No, not at all. No, it's not. And it's the same thing, I'm sure, with Kelly and Shannon. Like, you know, Shannon and I had a really close relationship for a really long time. We were great friends, I thought. You know, I know exactly how she feels about Kelly, and it's how the entire cast feels about her. And the problem is, and which is so unfair, is that everybody's afraid of her. So if you get on her bad side, you know, she'll go after your kids, your business, your husband. Like, she, there's no boundaries with her, and Bravo can't stop her. So, you know, Shannon, when she first found out I wasn't going back to the show, we did talk probably for another month, and they had just started filming, and then the phone calls were dwindling, and then I got no phone calls, no return, no nothing. But she had told me, she goes, you know, the odd thing is like the only person that I have any kind of background with is Kelly. And, you know, she fought with me last year off camera telling me, please don't be friends with Kelly. You can't be friends with Kelly. She is, you know, the new Brandy. You can't be around her. Like, she was constantly telling me that. So to me, like, I just felt like I knew 100% she would have to become friends with her just to film the show. So when
did you tell her that?
No, I knew it. And she told me, she goes, the only person that I have any background with is Kelly, even though that we're not getting along right now. But she goes, I don't like any of the other ones. Like, I would never hang out with them. And I'm like, well, you got to do what you got to do. Yeah. You know, you're going to do what you got to do. So that's where, you know, so I knew, I absolutely knew. So I know that she's been doing a lot of press lately saying that I'm mad because she's friends with Kelly. I'm not mad because she's friends with Kelly. I'm not mad at all about that. I'm mad that she just dumped me. That's why.
Yeah, well, I want to get into this thing with Shannon. So, like you said, the phone calls went down. Now, she was asked about this in an interview, right? And I think she said, she was like, well, why would I reach out to Tamra when she slandered me in the press? But it's like, but Tamra didn't talk about you in the press until you stopped talking to her, you know?
So that is exactly what I'm talking about when somebody's very calculated and they try to change everything around. Well, I wouldn't have said anything. And the only thing I said is that, like, she just stopped talking to me. She stopped every time I called her.
You were pretty politically correct about it.
Yeah. Every time I call her, she'd send me a voicemail. Now, you have to understand, this is a friendship that I had throughout the years that we would talk multiple times a day. And I helped her out and I didn't have a problem. Was it annoying sometimes? Yeah, it was, because she is very, very needy. And I would take her phone calls in the middle of the night. I mean, there was just so much that went on and so much that I did to help. And when I was down and out, you know, and she was sending me to voicemail all the time, I'm just like, wow, this really says a lot. And after I came out and said, you know, she just stopped, you know, kind of dwindled off, and she just stopped returning my phone calls. until I finally said something. And then I said something in the press. I go, yeah, she's just stopped calling. And then she texts me and said, wow, Tamara, you could at least text me or picked up the phone. I'm like, I feel like saying, listen, bitch, I did. You didn't call me. You didn't call me back. So obviously that got your attention, didn't it? And I didn't do it to be vindictive or mean or anything like that. I was just asked what my friendships were on the show. And then she twisted around to say like, oh, she's mad because I'm friends with Kelly. No, I'm not. I knew that the show must go on. I knew that, you know, you're going to have to talk with her. That was it. Do I think it's bullshit fake? Yeah, I do. I do.
Yeah. Well, you've been in her position before where you obviously, you made up with Vicky at times when you and Vicky were like, and you even tried, you seem to sincerely try with Kelly on the show more than once.
I did.
For sure. Even the Gretchen thing, like I brought up, you even tried with Gretchen and you, it's never been a bigger feud than you versus Gretchen. So you totally would have understood. And it's also like with her not reaching out, it's not just that you got off the show after, you know, 12 years, which is a big enough thing. You have all this stuff going on in your personal life. You know, your ex-husband Simon is going through cancer. Right. And that's when you kind of like need someone there the most that you would think would be your friend.
But that's the thing is like I was going through so much at the time and everything was so new and fresh in my mind. And I didn't know how to navigate through this. And, you know, it was like, first, I get the call on vacation that I got a limited role. And everybody knew that if they gave me a friend role, I wouldn't take it. I'm not taking it. I give way too much to the Housewives of Orange County to ever reduce my role. Like, there's no way. It doesn't make any sense. That's just screwing me out of money is what it's doing. And they'd use everything I say as drama for the commercials. So I'm like, hell no, I'm not doing that. So then after, you know, it took me a while to kind of get my head around that. And then, you know, also knowing Simon was fighting cancer and there was no way because Sophia lived with me full time while he was going through treatment because he couldn't take care of her. And which is fine. But, you know, it's like it was so hard on my kids and it's still hard where he's not out of the clear. It's still like he's, you know, it's still there. It's still happening. And he's still, I don't want to expose anything about his medical condition right now, because I feel like I've only repeated what he's repeated. And at this point, you know, it's not my place to say how he's doing.
Of course.
Yeah. But, you know, it was just a lot to take in at that time. And then, you know, here I was in my dream house and, you know, I just lost over $1 million contract and I got an offer on my house. My real estate agent's like, hey, you know, I know you're not going back to the show. Do you want to sell? And I'm like, no, you know, it's too much change at once. And then they offered us a deal we couldn't refuse. And then I'm like, why, God, why is this happening right now? Why are all these changes? And I'm like, yep, let's just do it. I need a new beginning. I think that I just need to get out of this house, move on, cash out, take the money and go. And, you know, I don't know that selling, I didn't need to sell the house. I didn't have to, but I'm like, sometimes I miss it. I don't know, but you know, it's just a house. But I was going through all this and Vicky was going through, you know, not going back. And, you know, she's more sensitive than me. So she took it a little bit harder than I did, but we were on the phone a lot. And so she had said to me, she's like, is Shannon calling you? I'm like, no. I said, I can't tell you how many times I have called her and she will send me a voicemail. And I said, and you know, when someone sends you a voicemail, she goes, well, I finally said to her, are you a fair weather friend? Why aren't you returning phone calls? You know, and it was always, oh, I'm busy. Oh, I'm busy. You're not busy. You don't do shit. Yeah. What are you too busy for? You know, what are you too busy for?
One thing I see people try to say online, right? They'll go, well, Tamara would have done the same thing. And it's like, well, no, because Tamara stayed friends with Heather when Heather was off the show. So
I talk to Heather all the time.
Obviously, if you have an authentic friendship, you're still going to stay in touch. It's only the people that you weren't friends with that you don't talk to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why people are like, I can't believe you don't talk to Gretchen. I go, I was never friends with Gretchen. We were never friends. You know, we never got along. I saw right through her bullshit. Like, no, I'm like, no. So the people that I am friends with, like Gina Keogh called me on my birthday, you know, like I talked to Lynn once in a while. I talked to a lot of people that used to be housewives. Yeah. I would never, ever just turn their back. But two particular housewives, I won't say their name, reached out to me and said, Shannon did the same thing to me. So I know what you're talking about. As soon as she found out that I wasn't on the show anymore, she just stopped talking to me and has never talked to me since.
Okay, that's juicy.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's done that before. Wow.
Yeah. So that's four housewives between me, Vicky, whatever. But, you know, it's like, I'm not saying it to bash her. I'm just saying, like, my feelings were hurt. And then it turned into a media shitstorm because everybody wanted to know, what did Shannon do? What did Shannon do? And I'm like, she just stopped talking to me. And she can twist it any way she can, but she's not exactly coming up with an answer. She just says, oh, no, that's their truth. That's not true. Oh, why would I do that? Well, why would you do it?
Yeah, well, that's the thing as well in her interviews. She hasn't given one specific example of like anything that you did to her. The only thing she's been able to say is that you talked to the media. And like we said, that was after she was ignoring you. So that's it.
Yeah. You know, it's like, give the answer. Why? Why'd you do it, Shannon? You know, she's a master manipulator. She will twist it and turn it to make it look. She's a professional victim is what she is.
How real are her, you know, on the show, she has these freakouts and stuff. Like, are they real too? Or are some of those like,
I really don't know anymore. Like, I really thought like she has freakouts. There's no doubt. She has her freakouts, but I don't know. I mean, I think Shannon's loyalty is to be on the show.
One thing I've noticed with Shannon, like I said, I never liked her, but I liked her on the show. But I do feel like, especially the recent seasons, as she, because obviously she was a very popular character on the show. And it's like, as the popularity grew, she became kind of like a caricature. Like even the way she talks, you know, she has that high pitched thing. It's like, she didn't really even talk like that her first season.
I know.
But it's like she plays the character and it's like, she does it more and more each season. Yeah, and it's kind of like, it's not natural. Yeah. Yeah.
Shaking,
yeah. With the hands. It's not natural. And as much as people have things to say about Kelly's pretty much the same as she was when she started. She pulls back sometimes, I notice. Like I do think Kelly has had those seasons where she's been like, wow, I am going to rein it in a little bit. But overall, I would say she's pretty much just herself.
Well, this is the thing, is like, I have more respect for somebody that's right in your face and telling you how they feel and are consistent on their behavior than somebody that, you know, acts and produces and creates stuff just for the show.
Do you see a future? Do you see kind of a chance to rekindle a friendship with Kelly or Shannon one day?
Kelly, I'll absolutely never be friends with. She's just not my type of girl. She's a party girl that's out there. And, you know, Eddie and I have a totally different lifestyle. We don't drink very often. We're very outdoorsy. We're very, you know, into our family. So she's not my type of girl. Her crowd is not my type of crowd by any means. Wish her well, whatever. Shannon, you know, she's very, very much a partier, drinker, and wants to go out and do things. And that's just not me. I'm a homebody. Like, I want to go camping and I want to go to the river and I want to go ride my bike and things like that. So, no, I mean, I really thought that even though Shannon and I were really close friends throughout the year, she would never just come to my house. Never. So I would go to her house, but she would never come to my house unless it was, you know, for production.
Yeah. So it just basically one-sided. I guess when you leave the show, and like I said before, it's like a hamster wheel, you probably get more clarity on a lot of things because you can kind of look at it from the outside.
Well, my family, even my mom, was like, you need to break from Shannon. Like, she brings you down. Like, her emotional roller coaster constantly really brings you down. And I'm like, no, I can handle it. You know, I'm fine. It's okay. Like, I just know that's her. I know she's emotional. Like, I'd always make excuses. And now I'm like, oh my God, what was I thinking? I think one of my hardest seasons was in Jamaica, where she was just crazy and acting weird and going through what she's going through. And I felt bad as her friend, like off camera, like calling her out. Like, I didn't want to call her out because I felt like in real life, like if my girlfriend's going through some shit and she's acting like an asshole, like I would call her out to her face, not on a national television show.
Yeah.
So it was really difficult. Like, you'd see me like try to, then I would pull back and, you know. And
well, you didn't even go in that hard on her that season. Like,
no,
because I was like watching and people were like, Tamara's such a bad friend. And I'm like, Tamara hasn't even really called her out that much.
I didn't.
Yeah. You know, compared
really
to what
didn't.
She could.
Yeah. And then, you know, people didn't see what she was doing. Like, so that was one of my difficult years because I wanted to say so much more, but I I didn't want to hurt her feeling. Yeah.
You have rekindled with Bronwyn recently, which is nice. We've seen that on social media. And on the premiere last night, she actually, I don't know if you've seen it on social media, but she said she's an alcoholic. She literally said, I'm Bronwyn, I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah.
It seems to be her storyline as well, because all throughout, before she did that, through the whole episode, they kept mentioning, you know, her drinking. And was that something that kind of like last season, you know, everyone sort of knew, but it's like you guys didn't really talk about it on camera?
You know what? We did talk about it on camera, and there were many times where she had, like when we were in Merivale, she drank all night long. She was up all night long drinking, and then showed up the last day with a bottle of tequila or vodka in her purse in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And she admitted that she had been drunk all night long and didn't sleep. And I just, we all thought, wow, she really drinks a lot. And then on the way home from one of our trips, she literally passed out on some passenger's lap on the flight. And, you know, we thought, oh my God, like she really drinks a lot. But then I also kind of thought like, oh my God, she's a mom of seven. This is probably all new to her. She's probably nervous. She's probably just drinking. Like, you know, you do drink a little extra when you're on the show because you are nervous and it is hard, you know, and it's like, we call it camera balls. Like as soon as you have a little bit of liquid courage, you're a little bit more, you know, outgoing and interesting or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But did I think she was an alcoholic? I wasn't around her enough to know, but I definitely thought that she could really drink a lot. She could really, I would be on my ass if I drank that much, but you know, I'm really proud of her. I had actually known a little bit about that storyline only because, you know, I talked to her mom, Dr. Deb, every once in a while, and
Dr. Deb,
and she had, you know, she had asked me something about, you know, because I had a strained relationship with my daughter, so, and she did too. So she, and I said, well, how are things going? I hope you guys are in a better place now. And she said, she goes, well, now that she's not drinking, you know, it's much better. And I went, huh? Like that. I didn't think much of it. But Shannon, you know, they had just started filming and she had called me and she's like, this is before she stopped calling me. But so I was talking to Shannon and she said, I think Bronwyn's pregnant. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, oh, she won't drink. And she kept saying, she's pregnant. And I said, no, I don't think she's pregnant. I said, you know, even Dr. Deb told me that she had stopped drinking. You know, maybe she's just taking a break. And Shannon's like, well, she can't do that. We're filming a reality show. Why would she do that? So I guess I actually get brought up during the season, upcoming season. I don't know if they're going to show it, because I basically tell Shannon, I go, I think that, you know, this is something more personal. It has nothing to do with being pregnant.
Oh, well, you were all over the premiere. They mentioned you about a million times. So you probably will be.
It's kind of annoying because it's like they still have me and they're still using me and they're still flashing back to me, but they're not paying me.
I know. Well, they do that to Brandy Glanville on Beverly Hills too when they don't have her on. They always did it to Danielle Staub when she wasn't on Jersey.
Yeah.
They always flash back to Danielle whenever they could.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying, but whatever. I'll be interested to see how many flashbacks they do.
Well, you know, I saw on, it was one of the interviews or something, that none of the cast are following Bronwyn anymore. So I guess, you know, have you talked to Bronwyn about that, or have she, you know, when you hung out, is she kind of,
we talked a little bit, you know, it was really weird for me. After I didn't go back, I pretty much unfollowed most of the cast because I just don't want to see it. I didn't want to hear it. I want to be involved. I don't want to ask questions, you know, and I have a friendship with Gina, and still her and I don't talk about the show because I just don't want to know. When I met with Bronwyn, you know, Bronwyn and I have never had any bad blood between us. I just stepped back, you know, I just needed to take some time, and she knew it. And I told her that. So she's always been nice to me. And so we just started chatting on Instagram and then we started texting, and then she invited me to her premiere party last night. And I said, you know, I don't think I'm ready for that. You know, don't take it personally. And she's like, no big deal. She goes, how about if we just go to lunch or breakfast or something? I'm like, yeah, that's good. That'll be good. So we ended up going, we had a great time. She didn't really talk too much about what was going on the show. Like I didn't want to ask and she didn't want to tell me. She did say that, you know, she said it in the press as well, that she's not speaking to anybody on the cast, but it's been all over Instagram. I've seen it. I've seen people. Yeah. They've reported on it that they're not, nobody's following her and all this stuff. And I really felt bad for her because I feel like, I don't know what happened to make them do that. But, you know, and I told her, I said, just know that when the whole cast is against one person, it usually makes the rest of the cast look like assholes.
It does.
It makes them, no matter what they could have the best reasoning in the world, but it really makes them look like bullies. So I wouldn't.
It is weird how that happens on the show. Like, even if the majority is in the right, just, and there's one person in the wrong, but if it's seen as a gang up, the viewers always side with the person that's kind of like, you know, getting kind of quote unquote ganged up on, even if it isn't really a gang up.
But I'll be honest with you. Like, she doesn't care. She doesn't seem like she cares, which is great. And I feel like she's got kind of like a new lease on life, and she's happy, and she's surrounded herself with people that make her happy. And I think that's probably the best thing for her.
Yeah. Well, you know, on the show last season, you had a lot of fun with her. You made out with her.
I did.
And everything. And she's been open about having an open marriage or something. Is that anything that you would ever consider, you and Eddie?
No, God, no.
No. So Bronwyn's modern marriage doesn't include Tamara and Eddie?
No. Me and Eddie we're super traditional. Like, he wasn't really fond of that kiss, and that was, you know, a drunken kissy. There's two Tamaras. They're like the drunk one on the show that just is loud and obnoxious. I'm the worst drunk. I can't even talk. I'm the worst like drinker in the world. Like, as soon as I have two glasses of wine, I'm just an idiot. Like, I can't even control myself. So I've just come to the conclusion, like, if I drink, I have one glass of wine, I'm done, because I just do stupid stuff. And that was one of the things that, you know, I'm not going to regret it. I didn't think anything was wrong with it. I don't have a problem with it. But, you know, Eddie's like, really, really? You're making out with Bronwyn?
Well, you also had a thing. Remember, you had a thing years ago with Fernanda, the hot fitness instructor, too.
Fernanda's been a friend with me and Eddie and everybody for years. In fact, I just talked to Fernanda the other day. So on
Instagram. Really?
Yeah. We're trying to get together to go to lunch or something. She's a beautiful person. She's just a good heart, like, has a good soul. And, you know, she's married now. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
What, to a man or a woman?
To a woman.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure if she was.
Yeah. Yeah.
So one thing about with you leaving OC, I'm curious, I meant to ask before, with you getting offered the limited role, for you, was it more about the money or just the principle?
I didn't really need the money, you know, so it wasn't like, of course, I love money, you know, whatever, but it was, I'm financially stable without the show, which I'm happy that I'm at that place. So when it came to, you know, I could have made probably 200,000, maybe even 400,000 if I went back, depending on how many times that I filmed. But it was more of a principle. Like I always said, if I'm to the point where I'm not entertaining enough to have a full-time role, then you know what, then it's my time to go. And I, all good things come to an end. And, you know, I'm not going to be a straggler hanging on like, oh, please just pick me. I just want to be back. Like, I would never, like some of these girls that come back, you know, just as friends.
Just to stir it up.
I would never, that's just not who I am. I'm either all in or I'm all out.
If you're offered like full-time next season, would you still consider that? Because, you know, all over social media, it's funny, all these years you were on the show, everyone would like bash you and Vicky and be like, get Tamara and Vicky off. And now the second that you're gone, everyone's like, oh my God, we need Tamara back. The show's not the same without Tamara.
Yeah. You know what? I think it's good that I'm gone. I really do. I think that it gives producers and Bravo an idea of, you know, what I meant to the show. And maybe, you know, I'm not disagreeing. Like sometimes there's the same cast members on the same show and you kind of think like, oh God, can they just get rid of her already? But you don't know what it's going to be like without her, you know? So it was kind of one of those things where I didn't expect to be on the show forever. Was I upset? Yeah, I was upset. I mean, I definitely hurt my feelings. It was a transition that I had to go through because after 12 years of my life, you know, like today I told Eddie, I said, you know, last night I was fine. Like I didn't care too much about the show airing. Like it didn't bother me. I didn't watch it. Eddie and I laid on the couch and watched a documentary about autoimmune diseases. Like, you know, it was like But yep. I went to bed. I go, but I woke up this morning and, you know, my phone was blowing up. I had so many messages of, oh my God, the show was horrible. It was horrible. Like, I can't believe this. Why? I had people like, even like, you know, celebrities reaching out to me going, what? You're not on the show? You know, so it was like, it really like, I'm like, oh my God, I started to feel a little sad this morning. Like, I'm like, it really made me sad to just see all those messages and all those people that were just like rooting for me and sad that I'm not on it anymore.
I still liked it. It just wasn't the same without you. Like, you know, I'm not even kissing your butt, but it was like there was just something missing. You know, with Vicky, I felt it was her time to go. Just, I feel like we got to the end of her story. She met Steve, with Steve as well being more conservative. She didn't want to do the party thing. Like, Vicky had given us a lot. I still felt like you had a space on the show. And then watching the premiere, as much as I enjoyed it, it was kind of like, you usually kind of steer the ship, you know?
So yeah.
To me, it felt like I use this analogy on Twitter. It was like the show lost their executive producer and their narrator in one.
Yeah.
So I still
You never know. I mean, it could bounce back. Who knows? I personally am shocked at the cast. I'm not even going to lie. Like, I just look at them and I know their personalities and I know how the show works. And I just scratch my head and just go, how the fuck did this happen? How did this happen? Like, it to me, it's just mind blowing.
There's so many
people on the show, but then it's also gives me a little bit of comfort too, because
of course because
if it was like Heather Dubrow and a few other people that were on the show, that I would be really sad that I wasn't on the show, you know. But now I'm looking, I'm like, wait, what? She has a job and I don't? Like, oh my God. Yeah. It's
I know. Well, you know, since you've left the show as well, you've kind of been more outspoken about kind of like political stuff. Like, you've talked about Black Lives Matter a bit, and like, you've explained sort of why, you know, like, spoken out kind of against the All Lives Matter, sort of explaining like why that's not something to say. Do you feel like now that you're off the show, you've kind of been more free to be able to like touch those subjects, or is it just the moment that we're in is so political that you can't say anything?
Well, the moment we're in is just so political, and I'm not one to bash anybody for their political belief whatsoever. I have mine, you have yours. I don't really talk about it too much. One thing that just really rubbed me the wrong way, and I have family members that were doing this, and they kept going, all lives matter, all lives matter. And I was like, I got to the point where I was sending, because most of my family are Trump supporters. And, you know, and it was like, all lives matter. I came with an analogy. I saw it on Instagram. And it's like, so, you know, your neighbor's house is burning down and the fire is close to yours. And, you know, they're going over there and you're screaming, what about my house? What about my house? You know, don't let my house burn down. Like, you know what? Like, just, why if somebody is hurting and going through something, why does it have to be about you? It's not about you.
Yeah,
it's about Black Lives Matter. You know, we're not saying nobody else's life matters ever in this world, but we're just saying right now, this is what we're, you know, it's just mind-blowing to me the way people think.
Were you always frustrated with, you know, I felt like, you know, Ryan's political views, they always put it on you. But like you said, that you kind of didn't talk about political stuff like openly, but it was like anything Ryan did, people would subscribe, you know, would put onto you. Was that frustrating? And it's also weird because you also have a Bernie supporter son, but no one puts the Bernie views on you. They only put the Trump stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it was Ryan is very vocal about, you know, a lot of things, and I would get the heat for it. And him and I have been in a lot of fights where I just said, just don't freaking talk publicly. Seriously. Like, if you want to talk about politics or something like that, like, go do it to your friends. Like, don't put it on the show. Don't put it on social media. And, you know, cause he's so extreme. And, you know, he sends me probably a Trump video every single day on Instagram. And every day I delete it. I don't even open it.
How is it both he and Spencer coping with like the election? Are they both kind of like freaking out?
Oh yeah. They got into a fight not too long ago because Ryan was over here and, you know, he's obsessed. He just talks about it nonstop. So, and then Spencer's just like, go ahead. And I'm just be quiet, Ryan, just shut up. And I finally have to say, like, just don't talk about politics in this house. obviously nobody agrees here, so let's just not even talk about it. You're not going to change my mind. I don't even care to change your mind. Just have respect for what we believe.
Yeah, I pretty much feel the same. And I also, it can be really easy to get caught up in that. Like when you're consuming that much political content, whatever side it is, it doesn't matter. You could be watching too much CNN, too much Fox, yeah. Whatever. You can get in that thing in your head and then you become obsessed with it. And then you just, whatever the opposite is to that, yeah. You just see as the enemy in every way. And it's, I think a lot of people fall into that. Like, you know, Ryan's situation's not uncommon. It's happening to everyone on every side.
Oh my
side.
Gosh, it's everywhere. And I feel like he has more comfort now that other people are more vocal. Cause I remember, two seasons ago when, it was right around the time I had broken my foot and we were having a party for Spencer's birthday, who actually has the same birthday as Trump. And, and so I had bought Ryan a Trump wig and orange face makeup. And I said, why don't you just show up to the party, you know, as Trump? And he said to me, he's like, no way, mom. He's like, I would never put that on TV. You know, I would get so much backlash. And then the very next year, he is just pro Trump and, you know, fighting with Spencer. And yeah, it was pretty funny. He changed quickly.
So what's going on with you moving forward? So I know that you and Vicky have been pitching a show. Can you talk about the concept? I know I read on a blog or Instagram or something. From what I gathered, it's like Real Housewives helping like Real Housewives.
Yeah.
Is that the concept?
That's basically, I'm not supposed to say too much about it.
Okay.
So we have, that show's been pitched to a few networks. We're still in that phase. I also have recently been contacted by another network. And
I think I know what the network is.
And it's not anything in stone. They just called me to check my availability to make sure I'm not in a contract with anybody. And they have a new show idea and they wanted to just check it out and see if I'm available. And I said, I am. And they said they would be getting back to me soon to let me know what it is and if it would work for me. So that's, you know, I have a few things like that. So
is it in the real estate, like, or renovation space?
It is a network that does that for sure. But I don't know what the show concept is. I really don't. I am signed up with a real estate agency now. So Agent Inc. John McMonagle, who was on Real Estate Wars on Bravo. So he owns this agency. And I've been having fun with that and just, you know, kicking back and being at home a lot. So
you just hit the ground running, really. As soon as you decided not to take the limited role, you were just like on to the next.
I am. I'm the type of person that has to be moving. You know, we have a CBD company. It's fully staffed. It started as just a startup company and it is huge right now. And I'm very fortunate and thankful for it. We have had Cut Fitness for going on 8 years, I believe. So we have a lot and I'm a social media influencer. Like I got to laugh or people will send me messages going, you're broke now. You don't have the housewives. How are you going to live? And I'm like, oh God, shut up. Shut up.
And so, you've got more Venus CBD stuff coming, don't you? Like new products in the pipeline?
We always do. So we are working. We had launched our immunity boost. That was last week, I believe. And then we have a full spectrum CBD. So you're in Australia, right?
Yeah, I can't get it in Australia.
You can't get it.
I've tried. I've looked on the website. I'm like, I need some of this.
Yeah. I mean, I would send it to you, but it wouldn't go through customs.
Just smuggle it in.
You have to come over here and smuggle it.
I know. Yeah. So one last fun question. Was Lynn Curtin really a stoner?
Yeah, never saw Lynn smoke pot ever in my entire life. So not that I'm aware of.
Oh, okay.
I just think that that's who she is. She's just kind of like one with the earth. And, you know, she's.
I love Lynn.
I do too. She's sweet. She's got a good heart. She never says a bad thing about anybody. So yeah, like I don't know that she's a stoner.
Oh, I think she deserved one more. I think she had another season in her.
Yeah,
I think they let Lynn go too soon.
They did let Lynn go. They let her go too soon. Who do you think's going to go next year?
I'm not sure if Kelly is going to go or not. The social media is trying to make it happen. I think it'll depend on how she conducts herself throughout the season. So I think if she continues to have blunders, they'll probably feel like they have no choice but to pull a Stassi on her. But I still think she has a chance to come back. I think Shannon, I don't think there's any need for Shannon unless you're back. So I feel like if they bring you back next season, then we definitely need Shannon because I really want to see that. And
everyone would want to see that. Yeah.
Everyone wants to see that. So I think if they keep Shannon without you, that's just a no-go.
I recently heard somebody post that me and Shannon's argument is fake and it's just our way of trying to get me back on the show. And I'm like, first of all, if I wanted to be on the show, I could have been on the show this year. I could have been. I mean, I had a long conversation with Andy and he's like, listen, don't make a decision right now. But if you want to go back this season while they're filming, and of course, this is before the pandemic hit, let us know. You can come back and you can film as many times as you want. And you know,
you would have known how to stir something up to get those episodes extended. You know,
just get your episodic rate, which is great. I think it was, you know, I was making great money per episode. So that's not it at all. That's not it. I just, you know, I don't hate her by any means. I'm hurt by her. I just realized, you know, being out of it, that what a one-sided relationship feels like. And, you know, I'm just taking control of my life and I don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah, that's my prediction. And I think maybe Emily. I like Emily. I don't know. I just like watching Emily. I know some people say she's boring. I enjoy her and Gina. I thought they were both good on the show. Although I am always waiting for Emily to bring more with the drama because I feel like when she like lets loose, like I love that time when she said threatened to kill Kelly. I thought that was great. I love when she screamed at Shannon to shut up at the reunion. That was epic. So I'm kind of like, come on, Emily, like just bring that out more. Like we know you've got that in you to just kind of like bulldoze these girls, but she kind of tries to keep it in, I think.
I would say like Emily definitely looks the part of a real housewife. Like, you know, she's got nice clothes and she's always glamorous and things like that, opposed to some of the other people on the show.
But you know what? I kind of like that about OC because I kind of feel like OC feels more, I don't know, it just feels like more of like a real just neighborhood of like, I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but it kind of feels like a bunch of Karens like in their little enclave doing their thing in their own little bubble. So I like that. And actually, it's funny, as The Housewives has continued, people expect very high levels of glam. But actually, if you go back to those early seasons, it was kind of, I mean, obviously they were sort of upper class, but it wasn't like we're flying around on jets with glam squads and stuff. It was just where...
It's funny how the show, you get to that point where you feel like you have to be glamorous or overly dressed or, you know, wearing expensive stuff all the time. The one thing that I had said to one of my friends, I'm like, if I went back, I would be such a different person than I was before. Like being away just makes me realize so much and how much you do just to be on the show and you kind of lose who you are. Like I'm a jeans and t-shirt, sweats, you know, hat. That's who I am. You know, I like getting dressed up once in a while, don't get me wrong, but you know, if I'm going to go to coffee, I'm not going to be wearing, you know, a $300 shirt and a $1,000 pair of shoes. It's just not who I am. Yeah.
All right. Well, it was amazing talking to you. It was so much fun.
It was so much fun. And best of luck on your new podcast.
I know. Thank you so much.